John, you are doing a good job. You are funny.
Thanks, bud.
That was my anointing. Hey, let's just stand up for like 30 seconds. Just stand up. Just stretch.
Raise your hands up.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Yeah, we receive everything you want to do. Okay, that was good. Now, you can stay standing if you want to, I mean. Well, I'm going to talk on the joy of prayer in like 35 minutes. Let's pray for me. Lord, help me, Jesus. Help me, God, just to get through what you want me to talk about and the time that we have, and that our kids would be freed from children's ministry before they riot back there. And so, Lord, help me, Lord, just stretch out your hand to me, bless me, bless Ryan, and just pray that it'd be anointed, that it'd be refreshing, encouraging, in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, stop. Can we do this like every day? I'll stand up here and you guys can all come to church and just like heap blessing on me. I'd love that. That would just be wonderful. So I want to talk a little bit about joy, the joy of prayer. And I have a feeling that the enemy doesn't like us talking about prayer or praying. I was feeling a little bit extra warfare. I've never been yelled at church before. That's the first time. I've been punched in church before. True story. I won't share that one. Sometimes warfare is real. So I want to talk about joyful prayer. And so these are two things that I'm incredibly passionate about. You know, so when people talk about, you know, I don't know if you ever had anyone ever asked you this, like, what is your life message? And you're like, I have no idea. Jesus. Right? That sounds like a good answer. Jesus is my life message. I like that one. I like John 9 at the end of the video going, Jesus. That was awesome, John. Are you in there, John? Where'd John go? There you are, John. Hi, John. He's my worship buddy. But I'm realizing that part of my life message is really to speak about joy. And also, I think prayer is an underlining message as well. But this thing about just a joyful life, I had someone come up to me on the men's retreat, and they said, I actually didn't believe that you were actually this joyful all the time. And I'm like, well, I'm not this joyful all the time. You can ask my wife. I'm not always this joyful, especially for the first 10 minutes I wake up. I am not very joyful. Amen, wife? She. We had this talk this last week, and I'm like, think of you at 11 o'clock at night. That's me at, 8 o'clock in the morning. Actually, I have to get up at 6:30 to 7 to help get my kids ready. You know, there is a connection between morning and morning, you know. This is John Hudgens theology. He spoke this word to me. I'm like, that is a word. I believe that's true, that there is a connection. I know it's spelled different, but it's the same thing. So, you know, so we talk about just joy a lot. You know, I didn't come out of the womb joyful. You know, like this wasn't my, how I came. I actually, I came depressed and anxiety. My household was, there was a lot of anxiety in my house and fear in my house. And so I didn't get joy when I was little. You know, joy was something that I got after I got saved. And actually, it was one of the reasons, it was the one thing on my list, my wife told this to me later, she was so gracious she didn't tell me in the beginning, was that I almost didn't marry you because you were so depressing. Well, true story. Look at her head nodding back there. True story. She's like, you are such a bummer. You loved God a lot, but you are a bummer to be with. And some of the people that knew me too, Dave Wiseman back there, we did ministry together, you know, he's like, Ryan, I love your passion for God, you're a bummer. And so joy, this thing of joy got to me later in life, and really it happened out of this place where I started praying prayers like, God, you can do whatever you want. Has anyone ever prayed those prayers? How many people have prayed those prayers? How many people have had God answer that prayer? Oh my goodness. Wow. Like he listens to those prayers. God, you can do, he said, you said I could do whatever I want. I was listening. And so I had prayed one of those prayers, and so I had this incredible joy encounter. I just want to say, you know, when Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1 about impartation is real. You know, that you can get something from God that you never had before because someone laid hands upon you and prayed for you. So this is how this kind of grace of joy came into my life. It came because someone laid hands upon me and prayed the joy of God into my life. And I started laughing and started feeling his pleasure, and I was never the same. I had a three-day encounter of a baptism of joy because someone laid hands upon me and I received what they had for me. Right? Like, this is amazing. Like, so you can get something that you've never had before because someone prays for you. I mean, this is part of the beauty of the body of Christ, that we all have something to give. And so sometimes it ends up being a big thing like this. Like, I had no idea. Like, it was weird, guys. I mean, like, laughing in church still felt like it was an illegal activity. You know, it's like the ushers won't come up if you're crying, but if you start laughing, they come up. They're like, excuse me, sir. I know the joy of the Lord is your strength, but this is too much. You know, it's that sort of thing in a church that we still were. So part of my mandate in the church is to fight for a joyful church. Right? Because I believe when Nehemiah 8:10 says that the joy of the Lord is your strength, that it meant it, that we are only as strong as the measure of joy that we carry in our lives. I like that word. We are only as strong as the measure of joy that we're carrying in our lives. Now, it doesn't have to look like ha-ha laughter all the time. You know, it can be an inside thing. And so I think sometimes when it comes to joy, we feel like joy is the upgrade in the Christian life. It's not the standard package. You know, like when you buy a car, you're like, do you want, you know, the racks on top or leather interior? And, you know, so sometimes we look at love, we're like, oh, yeah, every Christian is called to love, but I'm not one of those joyful Christians. You know, that's for somebody else. You know, but the joy package is for everyone else, for everyone that calls upon the name of Jesus. Like, we look at the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace. Oh, I love peace too. Oh man, peace is such a gift. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So it's a standard in the Christian life. And so some of us have not had joy be a normal part of a Christian experience like it was for me. But sometimes the very thing that you're worst at is the thing that God wants to anoint you to be the best at. Right? Like, this is how the kingdom works. God takes the things that we're struggling with and we're battling with and wrestling with, and God said, I'm going to make this into your greatest anointing. Right? You know, and so that's true for my life. You know, I once heard a teacher talking about, like, you should do, spiritual gifts and stuff. Do the things that feel natural to you and the things that kind of flow out of your life. And if I followed that routine, I actually would be doing almost no spiritual activity. Right? I guess hearing me? Like, I was terrified to lead worship. I was terrified to speak in front of people. I was, like, totally a bummer, you know? And so if I just followed the natural course of what was easy for me, I would be doing nothing right now. Right? So I don't know about that thing. I'm like, I'm not saying there's nothing in my Christian life or experience that kind of just oozed out on the Holy Spirit, you know? But most of it, I had to sow into it to grow it. I had to sow it to grow it. You know, and that's how it is in the kingdom. Whatever we want to grow, you just have to sow. Like, if you want more joy, sow into gratitude and thankfulness. You know, you have to sow your seed. Like, I think it was Rick Warren that said, if the grass looks green on the other side, think about watering your grass. Right? You're like, hey, that guy looks super joyful. I wish I could, you know, or whatever it is, you know, like, well, just God's saying that can be yours. You just got to water your grass a little bit. You know, I was thinking about grass stories. I got a house, and there's like the bunnies or the crows like to eat my worms or something in my grass. And I wake up every morning, and there's piles of grass flung everywhere. And I talk to my neighbor, and he's like, I don't know, whatever you're doing, keep on doing it, because they're not touching my yard. Steve, I love him. He's so funny. He's the best neighbor ever. He's hilarious. So we're all calling this thing of joy. And so, part of my message is I feel like God wants us just to, you know, if you could just hear this, that if we just go after a little bit more than we had before, we'd be doing great. Right? like no one has to look like me or anyone else or whatever thing that you love. Like if there's an anointing that you love, go after it. But you're not going to end up, you're not going to start off looking like the person that you love, whatever their thing is. You know, like you have to start somewhere. You have to start sowing the seed, and it takes time for something to grow up. So part of my message of joy is don't give up in the process. God's working. He's doing something. Keep sowing your seed. It's working. All right. That was good. I like that. So I just want to look real quick at a joyful Jesus. And I want to look at Luke 10, 19 through 21. It says, behold, so the disciples just came back from casting out demons and doing the very thing that Jesus told them to do. And they're rejoicing about it. In verse 19 in Luke 10, he says, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Amen. Now, I mean, this is the heart of the thing. Like, we're saved, guys. Hallelujah. Like, we're God's kids. You know, this is the heart of, like, all the miracles and all the other stuff. It's so good. I don't think Jesus was saying don't rejoice in that. He's saying, but this is the cake. You know, this is the main meal, that you're God's kids and you're going to heaven. And then verse 21, it says, at that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that he has hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this was well-pleasing in your sight. So so this verse in 21, it says he rejoiced greatly. It's from two Greek words that means much and very, jump and leap. So very jumpy, very leapy. Right? That's how this verse literally is translated. So Jesus got very jumpy and very leapy in the Holy Spirit. Right? Like, most of the time I don't picture Jesus like that. I watched, you know, did anyone watch like the bummer versions of the Gospels? You know, where Jesus is like bummed out the whole time. You know, you're like, oh, he doesn't look like very much fun to be with. You know? And then it came out with a Gospel version where he's smiling all the time. Oh, I love that version. He's like happy. I want the happy Jesus. You know? And so what I'm not saying, I want to make this clear, is that Jesus was acquainted with sufferings. Like, that was part of the deal. Like, sorrow was a part of his life. The cross was not something that was enjoyable, but actually the Bible says it was the joy set before him that he endured the cross. Right? This joy that was in Jesus is what sustained him through the suffering and the pain of the cross. I mean, this is radical. Like, we need to get a hold of joy, because we're not going to make it through our testing and trial. If Jesus needed joy to get through what he was going to face, we need the joy of the Lord to make it through what we're going to face. Amen? And so, you know, again, this is something that God gives to us. And I want to talk a little bit about that. I'm going to just skip down here to Isaiah. You guys don't know what I'm skipping, because you don't have a version of my notes, because you'd be confused. But, So in Isaiah 56, 3 through, I'm going to start on Isaiah 56, starting verse 6. Now, this is talking about, God's giving this promise about freeing the Israelites from Babylonian captivity, which was going to happen in a little over 100 years, 539 BC. And so he's given this promise, but extends into the new covenant. It was, in verse 6, it says, also the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. So I love this part that it says God is going to make them joyful. The NAV, I think, this reads, God's going to give them joy in the house of prayer. This is something that God is determined to do on the earth, that he's going to make us happy prayer people. Right? Like, and prayer is a big deal, because prayer is at the foundation of everything we do with God, that whether it's communion, whether it's intercession, whether it's supplication, prayer, whether it's worship, prayer encompasses everything that we do with God. So if prayer is the foundation of a relationship, there should be joy in it, right? So in the New Testament, guess who his house is? This wasn't a trick question. you were here last night. You know all the answers. So we're his house. You know, we're his house. In Corinthians, it says that we're his house individually, but we're also his house corporate. Hebrews picks up this theme that we are God's house. And so God is determined that he is going to make us joyful houses of prayer. I don't know. I think that makes me happy. So just to know, this is in the New Testament, Luke 19:45 through 46. Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling, saying to them, "It's written, 'And my house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a robber's den." So Jesus was really mad because the very thing that people were supposed to access and be a part of, being in God's sanctuary, being in God's presence, they built all these barriers and they were making it into something totally different. God doesn't like that. So the next thing I want to talk about is the joy of our access. So I want to read a verse in Hebrews 12:18 through 24. Now, this is something that's been really encouraging my heart, this thing of meditating upon the kind of access that God has given us into his presence. I'm learning more and more that God is open for business all the time, right? You know, this thing about being spirit-filled Christians is like something, it's not a suggestion, it's actually a commandment. No,
amen.
Being a spirit-filled Christian is not a suggestion. It's actually a commandment. Be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, this is really helping me. Like, I think it was Matthew Henry said that God's commandments are his enablements. What God commands us to do, he enables us to do through the power of his Holy Spirit. And so I'm realizing, I'm like, God, if you're commanding me to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that means your plan for me is to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All the time, you know, and so everything has to get birthed out of faith. So I love that when the word of God comes, it begins to stir faith in us. We say, this thing that looked impossible before is now I know it's possible. And so it's true. Like, so every morning I'm like, God, you said that I'm supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm feeling kind of grumpy because it's morning time, right? And I'm like, but you want to make me filled with joy, filled with love, filled with peace. So come and fill me up, Jesus. You know, good morning, Holy Spirit. We got to do that, you know, but we start getting hold of that God wants us to be spirit-filled believers in every area of life, not just in our worship services, because we are the house of prayer, right? You know, in our workplaces, and like, I'm contending to be just as happy at home as I am when I'm worshiping, right? Is anyone needing of that? Oh, help me, Jesus. When my kids aren't listening. That's pretty much it. When my kids aren't listening. So this incredible access that we have with God all the time, Hebrews 12, 18 through 24. I'm feeling the fire of Jesus. I don't know how you're feeling, but I'm feeling the toasty in Jesus time right now. Woo! I think it's my red flannel. For you have not come to a mountain, and speaking of Mount Sinai, that can be touched to a blazing fire, into darkness and gloom and whirlwind, into a blast of trumpet, and the sound of words which sound was such that those that heard it begged that no further word would be spoken to them. But they could not bear the command, even if a beast touches this mountain, it will be stoned. Like, so this is, you know, the Old Testament was demonstrating the law and the holiness of God. And so it was a terrifying thing to enter the presence of God. And so here we have Mount Sinai, where Moses met the Lord, verse 21. And it was so terrible, it was a sight that Moses said, "I am full of fear and trembling." But you have, now here's the transition. There's a big but here in the Bible, verse 22. I'm not going to go on big buts in the Bible, but there's a big but right here. "But you have come to Mount Zion." And so I used to read this verse and thinking like, oh, we come to this thing later. But God is saying that we come to this thing now. "But we have come to Mount Zion, into the city of the living God, in heavenly Jerusalem, and myriads of angels." Right? This is what we get access to right now in the present. Like, we get to come into the presence where angels are moving up and down, where the host of heaven is surrounding us. Remember, seated at the right hand of God? Remember that whole thing that we're seated with Christ in the heavenly places? Guys, we have incredible access to heavenly things all the time. All the time. It's amazing. You know, and I feel like a lot of the time, God has to keep waking me up and saying, Ryan, the supernatural, you know, invasion from heaven that's available all the time, it's really there all the time for you. Like, you are an open heaven. Like, a lot of times we're like, I'm contending for the open heaven. And God's like, there you are. Heaven is open for business, buddy. You know, and I'm not saying there's not something about corporate worship and, you know, how God visits us and stuff. But I think in the church, and especially in the Vineyard, I've found that we lean towards the place of God invading upon us instead of realizing that he's inside of us all the time. Like, I like them both. I'm not choosing one or the other. I want to realize that, yes, there is a thing about corporate worship. We come together. There's a grace there that I can't get anywhere else. But I know that me with Jesus is enough to transform any environment because I'm there with Him. Right? And so I feel like this is something God's heart. He's like, guys, I want you to get hold of this. Like, the kingdom of God truly is within you. Like, you're packing it. Like the video that was on of the men's retreat. I don't know. Anthony's gun scares me. So we have this incredible access. You know, I love this thing too, that we get to come into the throne room of God, the throne room of grace, the throne room. We'll just go for the throne room. That we get to come in the throne room with boldness. Like, remember in the Old Testament, they got the bells and the rope, and you know, they're like, I hope I didn't have a bad day or was mean, because the high priest would get dragged out, right? Like, that's how they went in. And God said, it's not like that. You get to go in with boldness now, right? Boldly into the throne room with you know, I was looking at this verse again. Hebrews 4:14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed into heaven, speaking of Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Does anyone need grace and mercy? Oh, Jesus, I need it. Like, driving on the road every day, grace and mercy, Lord. I don't know what it is, but I am still convinced that driving on the road is the true test of my spirituality. I am like praying down blessing and mercy. I'm like, I begin with, God, how did they get a license? And then I'm like, no, Lord, release more licenses in Jesus' name. This is where the rubber meets the road, guys. Like, literally, the rubber meets the road. Literally, it meets it in this place. And so, like, driving your car is a great place to increase your prayer life. So this thing about shameless audacity, I was looking at this verse again, Luke 11:5-8. It says, then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him midnight and says to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you that even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And I love, so that word persistence, and Micah shared this, but it's shameless impudence, you know, which also you could say shameless audacity. It's like, it's the how dare you, right? You know, and God is saying, come into the throne, this thing of God, like, here I am, you know, like my kids do that all the time. You know, I'm sleeping in my bed and they jump on my bed and decide that that's the best way to wake me up, right? Oh, Jesus. But it's that thing of like, hey, you're my dad, you love me, because this argument is saying, if a friend does this, how much more so is a good Heavenly Father want to give to us everything that is good, right? We get this thing settled in our hearts that God is amazingly good, and He wants to give us everything that's good. We start getting this shameless audacity thing in us, because we're in Jesus, and because we're in Jesus, we can ask for anything, right? So I've shared this before, but you know, I feel like we need to get more of my 9-year-old in us. And what I'm saying is that my 9-year-old has the gift of persistence. You know, she comes with shameless audacity because she knows that she's going to weary me out. You know, and so her request, you know, it's like, this is what happens. Like, she won once and now she knows she's going to win every time. Right? Like, this is what happens, you know, like, it's like you, that thing, you give them an inch and they take a mile. Like, she realized, especially me, I think she works on me more than mom. She's like, dad really loves me a lot. And if I ask him enough times with kindness, eventually he will break and give me anything that my heart's desire is. You know, so I praise God for the puppy that I never wanted daily. Lord, thank you for this dog that I have to walk again, that I have to clean up again. Thank you, Jesus. You know, and so she's been, my wife just informed me, like, before it was a hamster, but she's upgraded now to a second dog. And I am praying that the Lord changes her heart, because I don't want two dogs. I didn't want one dog. So I love this. Like, I love how my kids teach this thing to me she knows that I'm a good dad and that I want to give her things and I love her so much. And so I feel like that this heart of my 9-year-old, the church needs to get the heart of a 9-year-old in them. Right? That we just know that God loves us so much. And so, oh, I like that. I have like 25 more minutes and 5 minutes to go. Lord, help me. Help me, Jesus. You can just stare at me. I'm waiting for the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for your presence, God. Thank you that you're here with us. In the midst of all the wild and crazy stuff, Lord, we just thank you for being here. All right, I want to hit on two quick things. So finding joy and growing in prayer. You know, so I shared at the beginning that, you know, just if we can walk out with a little bit more than we had before, I think we're doing good. You know, and that's really what we're going after. And so I was sharing this verse about sowing and reaping. I love 2 Corinthians 9:6 shares this. It's talking about finances, but in the context, but it says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." So this thing is, when we give ourselves to anything, whether it's a little or a lot, God always pays us back, right? So this is like, we got this principle in our heart. It's really important that we know that it's working. So finding the joy in growing in prayer is knowing that when you plant a seed or water a seed, whatever it is, it's going to eventually grow up and become something. Now, and so this is the other thing I want to share about, the joy in walking it out. So sometimes, I don't know if you guys ever had this, but you're praying for something and it doesn't happen the moment you're praying for it. Like 99.98% of the time, you know, it works like that. And actually, I'd have to say that statistic is changing. I've seen a lot more breakthrough sort of prayers happen when I just lay hands upon people and the sick get healed. And I love that, you know. But part of this thing is, I remember actually when I was praying for, I just had all this crazy thing going on in my life with my mind and my head, and I had all these just damage from LSD and demonic things going on. And I was praying that God would give me the breakthrough prayer that I heard someone else got. I was like, God, give me their testimony. And they laid hands upon them, and they were instantaneously healed from one prayer. And I'm like, oh, God, can I have that one? Right? And you know what the Lord said? No. I was bummed, you know. I'm like, but he didn't just say no. He said, I have a walk it out plan for you. Like, I have something and I didn't understand it at the time, but he actually gave me, in his goodness, he gave me a timeline. He said, this thing is going to be 7 years for you. And so it was good because I had a time period, but what I didn't understand was that God wanted to cultivate something through the process that was much greater than any one breakthrough I ever could have gotten. Like, I do not regret the 7 years I went through. Do I want to do them again? No, I do not want to do them again. But the 7 years where God was fostering this thing of really, he put a lean in my spirit that he connected me to him, where I am talking to God all the time throughout the day, that he is it's like a lean in my heart. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That thing I got through 7 years of waiting for a breakthrough. And so sometimes the answer is not coming because what God is doing in you is greater than the breakthrough that you're eventually going to receive. Amen. We can almost go home. Almost. So here's, I want to share, are we still good? Can we go like 5 more minutes? You guys got 5 minutes in you? 55% say yes. Do I hear 60%? 75%. Go back there. 85%, 95. All right. We got it. So part of the reason why I do this too is I honestly believe that when there's interaction with us, when there's hunger in the room, that we get more. So I don't want to just be talking and you guys, like, you know, are taking a siesta. That's bad. So that's why I'm saying that. I want you guys here with me. So this is one thing that God spoke to me recently. So I was going through this time, and I was going through some warfare, and sometimes, you know, you're just battling with things. Sometimes it's practical, but sometimes it's spiritual, and you can't put a finger on it yet. You guys ever dealt with that? You're like, I don't know what's going on, but something feels broken, you know? And so I was going through one of those times where I'm like, God, something's off, and I don't know what to do about it.
And he reminded me, he said, last time you went through this, what happened? And I'm like, well, I'm like, I started, like, my whole life changed. I started doing all these different things, and I readjusted my life. And you ever guys notice that you're walking through a trial, that your prayer life explodes? You know, like, you're like reading the Bible like crazy. You're like, there's got to be an answer here somewhere. You know, like, you're showing up to every church meeting, you know, like, you don't care what kind of church meeting it was. It was like, you know, a janitorial meeting on how they're going to clean the church. And you're like, I'm going to show up. Jesus is going to be there. You know, I don't care. I'm coming. I've seen some of us in that place. I've been there. You know, when you get desperate and hungry, things start to change. Right? So sometimes we're walking through that because God's like, he's stirring up some hunger in us and saying, I want to get you hungry because there's something I want to give to you. You know? And so there's something powerful that happens at that place. So God was saying, do you remember what happened last time we were in this place? I was saying, yeah, God, my life got incredibly better. There was things that you changed in me that produced a breakthrough. Right? There's things you change in me that produced a breakthrough because I started living out life differently, and it ended up better than it ever was before. And he said, and he reminded me of Romans 8:28, and it says that God works all things together for good to those who love God and are called to according to his purpose. He didn't say, I'm going to work it all together for okay, less than, right? So my understanding was when God said, I'm going to work it all together for good, when I was going through a hard time, I felt like he's like, I'm going to get you back up to nothing, buddy. You know? You know what I'm talking about? You're going back to zero. God's like, you're not going back to zero. You're going back to better than you ever were before. Right? So we start, this is the joy of walking through trials and waiting upon the Lord. We get a joy in us and saying, hey, when I'm walking through this thing, it's time for an upgrade. Right? Like, you guys can bank on this. You can, like, take joy in this, that anytime you're going through, the moment that you keep saying yes to God and whatever that thing is, God's going to end up giving you more than you ever had before. Oh, man. Oh, Jesus. I mean, like, these are like lenses of life. If we get these things in our spirits, we will never be the same. If we start looking at the hardships of life through this lens, you will never deal with a problem in your life in the same way. If we can settle the goodness of God and that he wants to do better for us than we've ever had before. Oh, I'm really happy about that. Okay, I got 3 minutes and 11 seconds. Oh no, that clock's fast. It's only 11:58. Praise God. That must be for Pastor Mike. Oh, I'm so happy. Okay, so the last thing I want to talk about is the joy of winning. Anyone like winning? I looked at Anthony. I don't know why. Anthony, I just feel like you have a joy in winning. So I like the joy of winning. So one of the things I've been realizing in my prayer life is that as God's growing things in prayer, I've been a season that God's been restoring great joy in my prayer life. You know, one of the things, and I've talked about this before too, is that God always rewards us when we do anything for his kingdom. So when I pray, I look for God's reward, meaning he's going to give something to me that's good. And the number one thing that I look for is I look for his presence, right? So I have this faith in me, this expectation that God's going to come and visit me anytime that I pray, because God is always the greatest reward of our prayers, right? Amen. Like, he's the best. I love him. So, and oftentimes when I'm wrestling through a whole bunch of problems, different circumstances, I'm trying to get back to that place where I see Jesus and Jesus alone. Because I know if I get to that place, everything else is okay. Like, the prayers might not be answered, but when you see the face of God, you know everything's going to be all right. Right? So for me, this is the number one goal in my prayer life. So I'll pray through my problems until I get back into the face of Jesus. Oh, I like that word. It's helped me a lot. So in our prayer life too, that being our main goal, sometimes I feel like we're like my daughter getting dressed in the morning. My daughter doesn't like shoes. I don't know what the deal is, but I cannot get her to wear shoes for the life of me. You know, we're like, we're getting out, we're going to school, and I'm like, Lily, did you get your shoes? Do I need shoes today? Yes, you need shoes. You need shoes every day. Every day you need to put on your shoes. You need to wear your shoes when you go to the school. We need shoes when you go to the supermarket. So this happens so many times. We're like, I'm getting out to go to the supermarket, and she hops out and her bare feet hit the ground. I'm like, what happened to your shoes? She's like, I forgot my shoes. So, Lord, I pray for shoes, God. Oh, Jesus. So I travel around with like 5 pairs of shoes in my car at all time now. You know, you ever had this happen as a parent? You know, it's like the things that your family's always forgetting. So I have like 25 jackets, 5 sets of shoes, you know, like a change of clothes, you know, like a blanket, a survival kit, you know, like it's like my car. If you look into my back of my car, it is filled with stuff for the kids. I got rollerblades and skateboards, you know, just in case spontaneously we need to have fun or something, you know, like, it's crazy. They're like, what is all this stuff? I'm like, this is just so I can have children and not go crazy. But I think in our prayer life, we're like my daughter who gets up in the morning. We don't put on everything that God's given to us to wear, right? So we the Lord is calling. It's all right. Bless you. If he's got a word, I want to hear it. You know, so like I think it's like my wife was highlighting this, that when it says put on the full armor of God, it doesn't say put on the half armor of God, right? Don't put on the quarter armor of God, you know? Don't put on the 10% armor of God. We want to put on the full armor of God. And so in our prayer life, I think a lot of times there's weapons in our prayer arsenal that we're just not taking hold of, all right? So I want to go through and just... this is only going to take a couple minutes. 3 minutes. Jesus. In my journal, I've written these down, these prayers in order, because they're kind of how I walk through my prayer life. You don't have to do it this way, but it helps me. So my first one that I just go through is Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So I start off there with just adoring God, remembering he's my greatest treasure, and just like, you know, worshiping, singing some songs to him, whatever it is. And then I go on to John 15:7. So this has kind of been my morning routine, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I actually speak these words out in God's presence, and I wait for him to talk back to me through his word. So John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what? Whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. You guys like that promise? Like, oh my goodness, the more I meditate upon this promise, the more I think any dream is possible with God, right? And so I start off with, though, Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, because if God's my joy, I can love God and then do as whatever I please, right? Have you guys ever heard that? Love the Lord your God and then do whatever you please. Like, when your heart gets lined up, I think this is what it is. If my words abide in you and you abide in me, if we're in union with one another and I'm your greatest delight, you can just go after whatever's in your heart because I'm with you. Right? I don't know if you guys, some of you guys aren't convinced about that. Go pray about that. See what Jesus says to you. All right, so James 4, 2 through 3. This verse is kind of intense. You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. Don't do that. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. Now, what's interesting is that in this verse, that's saying that you're doing these things that are unhealthy, but it says, you do not have because you do not ask. That part of the answer for us getting out of this place of squabbling with one another is just to start asking God for ourselves. Isn't that crazy? Like, God that says part of the solution is just, why don't you start asking? And I remember I was praying this verse, and I was just quoting, you do not have because you do not ask. And God says, you're right, Ryan. And I was like, what? you know how when God speaks to you, everything changes? You know, I got a revelation in my heart that there was so much more that God wanted to give me, and all I have to do is ask for it. Woo! Come on. Okay, so Matthew 7:7 says, asking will be given to you, seeking you will find, knocking the door will be opened to you. For whoever asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks will be opened. I've already talked about that kind of persistent part. Psalm 77:11 says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord, surely I'll remember your wonders of old. Now this thing has been so helpful. I've been starting my journal again, and my journal has changed my life. I used to do this all the time, but I've been recording answers to prayers and things that God's been speaking to me, and I'm finding out that it helps me find the flow of faith in my life when I'm not hearing from God on a certain day, right? Like, I forget stuff. I'm forgetting more stuff all the time, you know, like, don't amen that. That's not an amen place. You know, so I just want to encourage you guys, like, to do things that remember what God's spoken to you, because what happens is you start seeing the hand of God, that he's been speaking the same word to you over and over again, but sometimes we're just not hearing it yet, right? So that's part of our arsenal. Matthew 18, 19, I got two more verses, and we're landing this ship or plane. We'll land a ship. That'd be cool. Matthew 18, 19 says, "Again do I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven." So this thing about agreement is really powerful, because I think a lot of times we're contending in our secret place together, but God is saying if you fight with one other person, you're going to experience a much greater area of breakthrough. I think, you know, sometimes I'm reading this verse, you know, where it says, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything, and it's like God saying, if two of you could just agree about anything. And with my kids, that's kind of how it feels sometimes, you know, like picking shows. Oh my goodness, it's like the world's coming to an end and what show they're going to watch next. Can I even get amen out there? Oh, Jesus, help us. So, but this thing of like some of us, God, we're waiting for a breakthrough, and God is saying, if you get together with one other person and learn to pray together, you're going to start experiencing breakthrough in your lives. You know the verse in James where it says that confess your sin to one another that you might be healed. Confess your sin, pray for one another that you might be healed. And then the next verse that comes after it is the righteous prayer, the righteous and effective, the prayer of a righteous man prevails much, you know, the whole Elijah thing, you call down rain and it rains. So this whole verse about calling down heaven and praying comes out of this place of God saying, if you're vulnerable with one other person and you pray with them, that you can call down the rain of heaven upon your lives. Like, that's the context of the prayer. Man, I just, so last night I was preaching this and I said that verse and it's like heaven said amen to that. I could feel the presence of God fall in the room. As I said, if we get together and pray with one another person and find a place to be vulnerable, we can start praying the rain down literally in our lives. Does anyone need any rain in their lives? Rain in your family, rain for your children, rain for your marriage, rain for your jobs. Like, we need the rain. Like, we need physical rain. Like, when we get a hold of this thing of delighting in God and finding joy and praying together, man, the heavens are going to crack open. Whew, Jesus, I'm just going to land here because I just feel the Lord. All right, so worship team, if you're here, come forth, worship team. Let's just stand up together. We're just, Lord, I just pray right now. We want the rain, God. We want the rain of your presence, God. God, we need the rain, Lord. We need the rain for our kids, Lord. We need shoes. Pour out shoes, Lord. More shoes. So if you just want to increase in just your prayer life, or if you want to increase in joy, if you need rain, then just come on forward. We're gonna pray for this. We're gonna pray for the rain together. You guys ready to pray for a little rain? Yeah, thank you, Lord. I want to declare this. There is breakthrough here right now for us. There's breakthrough right now for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I just pray that you would take the word, that you'd mix it with faith in our hearts. Woo! Ha! Thank you, Jesus. Throw your stuff on the ground. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Okay. So I just talked about this. We're going to pray with someone next to you. Yeah, let's do that. So turn to someone next to you. Okay. Don't do it. Dave's saying don't do it. But I'm so happy. You can pray with someone beside your spouse too. You're like, I pray with her a whole bunch. I'll pray with somebody else this time. Let's do this real quick. The person next to you, ask them what they need. Say, do you want more rain? You want an increase in your prayer life? Do you need more joy? Just ask them real quick what they need, and then And then we're going to pray for each other. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, if you want to do it at your seats, you can pray for one another there. You don't have to come forward. That's fine. Wherever you're comfortable. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, let the rain come, God. Let the rain come, God. Pour it out. Pour it out. Pour it out in Jesus' name. Let the rain come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the power of togetherness. Thank you for the power of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just stay here for a while. Let's just stay here for a while and just let's cry out to God. Let's just ask Him for what we need. Let's be the house of prayer. Let's cry out for breakthrough for our friends and breakthrough for our family. Let's cry out for breakthrough in our finances. Let's do it together. Let's do it together. Let's pray until heaven comes. Let's pray until the rain comes. Let's pray until the reward of God comes. Let it come. Let it come in Jesus' name. Let it come in Jesus' name. Let it come. Yes, let it come, God. We say more, Lord. More of your presence, God. Come on, baptize us in your presence again. Baptize us, Lord, and more.
Take the leap every step I make. Even if you tell my feet to wait. 'Cause where you are is where